Well, good evening. If you take your Bible, please, turn to Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. We are going to look at missions here. This is the second last chapter of Joshua, and the dividing of the promised land has taken place. It's complete. Not everyone that's meant to be evicted has been evicted, but all the tribes have been allocated their allotted inheritance. And Joshua is a very old man. He's 40 years older than anyone else because he's one of the ones that didn't die in the wilderness. And he's giving his final instructions before he dies. Now, that puts him in rare company. Only Jacob, I mean, I'm sure the other guys did it too, but recorded in Scripture, only Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and David. It records their sort of final words to those following on from them. Unless I've forgotten someone else, that's who. And so that's what we're reading here in chapter 23. We'll read just verses 8 to 10 for now. He says, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you." And that final phrase there is the title for our message tonight, "He hath promised you." So Joshua says, keep going with expelling the Canaanites. Be courageous, obey the law. Keep close to the Lord, because verse 10, he it is that fighteth for you as he's promised. And that thinking, that thought made me think also of Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, and the way that the Great Commission ends. We're going to stay in Joshua in a moment, but just please turn over to the New Testament and pick up Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Christ speaking to his disciples. In verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." This promise here that Joshua says, you know, trust God as he's promised you. It's him that fights for you. Here in the Great Commission, we have the promise that, lo, I'm with you alway. Having promised us already all power, I'm with you always until the end of the world, which is long enough, isn't it? God's promise to us for missions is that he will enable us for whatever he asks us to do for missions on his behalf. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time in your word this evening. Take these thoughts, use them, stir us, Lord, for this great need at this hour. Lord, we believe your return is imminent. And Lord, yet there are still so many in the harvest field in need of a Saviour. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, without you, the task is literally beyond us. And yet, Father, you have told us that you will enable us, you will empower us, and Lord, you will be with us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take this message this evening and use it in our hearts, Lord, to stir us again for the cause of worldwide missions. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And Christ didn't say this here in Matthew 28 just to Peter, James, and John. It wasn't just to the disciples' leaders, if you like, as they seem to always have been treated. It was to all of the disciples and from them to all of us that this promise. And if we go back to Joshua chapter 23, likewise, as Joshua gets ready to give his final utterance before the Lord takes him home, if you go back to verse 2 of Joshua 23. Likewise, here Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them. This is not just to the leadership that Joshua is saying this, that God's going to be with you as he promised. This is to all of them. This is to each individual, whether they have successfully exported those that had been living in their allotment of land or whether they, through various reasons, haven't yet kicked the Canaanites out. God is going to be with them. And from the mission's point of view, that is, we're not going to kick them out of their country, but we're going to kick out idolatry from their hearts, selfishness, worldliness, and replace it with God's word and God's desire for them. Christ didn't just say this to the leadership, and Joshua didn't just say this to the elders and judges. It was said to all Israel. And so to us as we finish this missions month as well, it is missions is something that is for all of us. It's not just for those families on the back wall. It's not just for Pastor. It's not just for me. Missions is for all of us. And so our first point this evening comes from verse 4. Firstly, there is a place. A place. Behold, verse 4, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. That is a summary of the last, I don't know, six chapters, really, just in that one verse where Joshua has been telling them now, just to confirm that we're all on the same page, from this city north to that place and from this line to that point and across to there and over to here, that's for this tribe. And Chapter after chapter, it's been spelled out what the allotment was for each of the different tribes. And when each of the tribes, each family was allotted. Fortunately, that isn't all recorded for us as well. But each family within each tribe is also allotted a specific place within the overall allotment of the tribe. And then the Levites and the priests are allotted cities scattered throughout so that there's that spiritual influence and leadership, not just in Jerusalem, but all through the land. And then to the point that, as we know, there's the cities of refuge, so that it's not just those, the permanent place, but even to the point that those that have been falsely accused even have a place until they can have their day in court. So everybody has a place, and God has made a place in the promised land for everyone, and he has a perfect place for each of us as well. This, again, wasn't being said just to the leadership. This was being said to every individual. God has a place for each of us in his harvest field, on the mission field. And that is not our place of employment. That our place of work or of study is not the be all that ends all. That is just a means to an end. That's just what he has for us to allow us to live where he wants to be able to afford to live where he wants us to be. Everything about where we're supposed to be is about serving the Lord. Everything is about doing what God would have us to do in that place. God has a place for each of us. And in that place, he asks us to serve him. We're not sitting on the side of the harvest field watching others doing the harvest. No, we're meant to be harvesters. We're meant to be laborers. We're meant to be serving. And so for each of us, firstly, I see here that there is a place for each of us, and in that place we should be serving. There's somewhere in the world that God wants each of us to be. Now, right now, that place is here. But that doesn't mean that in 2 years even, it will be God's will for each of us still to be faithfully part of this church. But until then, until the Lord moves us elsewhere, we're to be faithful here. Serving here, be involved here. That is missions, being a part of a New Testament church. And not just being a part of taking a place in a pew, but being part of what's going on. Actually being involved. That is missions in its simplest form. There's a place for each of us in that place of service. Obviously, there is work to sustain us, but that's incidental. Teaching all nations is how it's worded in Matthew 28 there. Teaching all nations is the goal. And just as the people were coming to Joshua and saying, hey, Joshua, in the chapters before this, they'd been coming and saying, hey, we need a bit more land. Some of that was because they didn't like fighting those ones over there specifically. They'd rather pick off somebody else a bit smaller. And part of it was just literally they, for various reasons, didn't have enough land, or they thought they didn't. And so for some of us too, has God been saying through this missions month to you, start preparing to shift in place. There's going to be somewhere else for you. It's not going to be here forever. Has through this missions month, God been saying, be ready. There's going to come a time where there's another place of service. Is God calling you elsewhere? Or is God asking you more of you here? Whether you are serving already or whether you haven't been serving already here. But if for all of us, we can assume that this is where God has placed us, we should be serving. Is God asking more of you just right here? more involvement, more commitment, more service? Is God convicting you of this place more so? So we see firstly in verse 4 there's a place. Secondly, in verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom, to the right hand or to the left. There's a place, and then here we have apply. They're told to be courageous. Now, obviously, in light of there being a place for us to serve somewhere, we need to be courageous, especially when God is causing us to step out by faith and get involved, or step out by faith to somewhere we haven't served before. Amen. To take our place. But that's not the point that's being made here by Joshua. It's not courage for taking our place. No, our place has been given to us. That's your allotment. The courage here spoken of is not to do with courage to take what's your place. That is your place. That is yours. Just get in there is basically how he's wording it here. The courage here, what's in view here, is our obedience to God's word. You see, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. It's courageous to apply God's word. That's what's in view here. Now, obviously, as the Lord leads us, again, as he's leading us to do something, he's leading us through his word. And there's courage with obeying as he leads us. But again, it's not that courage. It's God's word in reference to just applying it to your life, applying it to my life. You say, that's why do we need courage? Well, it's been applying God's word to our life that causes us to grow and has gotten us to this point that we can just realize that, yeah, missions is something I'm to be a part of, whether it's here in this local church or elsewhere around the nation or overseas. But for all of us, we need to keep applying God's word, because if we're not growing spiritually, we're not going to be involved in missions very long, here or anywhere. It's applying God's word to my life that has just brought me to where I am today, that has brought you to where you are today if you're a child of God. Applying God's word to your life. And Joshua says, be courageous. Keep applying God's word to your life. Be careful that you keep obeying God's word. No application, no missions. If we stop listening to what God's telling us to do in his word, in terms of just, we've heard it, but I'm hearing it again, and, oh yeah, Lord, I've heard that again. I've heard that before. No, we need to be courageous to keep applying what we know, and keep applying what we're learning, and keep applying, and keep growing, and keep moving forward. Because If God's will is for us to be here, there needs to be a church here of Christians that are growing and willing to give to missions to support those that have gone. And if it's God's will for us to go, perhaps we need to have even greater faith and more ability to obey God's word on the field when there's nobody else there that knows us and sees us and knows what we're up to. Perhaps it's even harder there to be the child of God and to be applying God's word to our lives when there isn't pastor and there isn't our friends to say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You've never done that before. Courage to keep applying God's word to our life, wherever God's place is for us to be. Be courageous. Don't turn aside from where God is leading you to. It's obedience to God's word that has gotten you to this point. And it's obedience that will sustain you to do whatever God asks you to do for missions. Whether it's to stay here and be more involved and more faithful, that takes courage. Every change that we make must be fueled by God's word. Every change we make. No, I can do this. Whether it's a child getting ready to marry and leave the home, and there's one less in the home, there's a change for the home and for the one leaving. Whether there's one coming into the world, whether there's a change at work, whether there's a change of ministry at our local church, different, we involve differently. Every change, sure, we can physically do it. We turn up and do whatever it is, but that's not fueled by God. That's just fueled by us being there. Every change that takes place in our life needs to be fueled by God's word and fueled by God's power. Any continued faithfulness must be, it will only be by us taking God's word daily and still applying it, just like we did yesterday, just like we did 10 years ago. Otherwise, there's nothing happening going forward. So there's a place, there's applying. We have to keep focusing on God's word. And thirdly, in verse 7 and 8, and that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, nor serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. I chuckled when I read that. Really, Joshua? Aim higher. The Israelites aren't really known for clinging to obedience to God's word for very long. But Joshua says, do it as you've done up until now. Come on, we can do better than that. But the point is that we're to oppose those that we're going in amongst. They were to oppose those. They weren't to get in and get comfortable amongst those nations. There's a place. There's the application, and now there's oppose. Come not among these nations. You and I need to stop seeking the world for what it offers us. The world is not there for our entertainment. It's there for evangelism. We need to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And we need to stop seeing the world as something that's pleasurable for us. Whether it's the world's fancies are a temptation, or whether it's just the world from a something to explore point of view, in terms of interest and so forth. And I guess, in a sense, we have the teen camp theme in a nutshell in these verses, where at camp in January, the charge to the teenagers was, there's the world, and we're told to stay away from it, and we're told to reach out to it. The world from the sense of the temptation, and the world from the sense of the evangelism. And Joshua says, the Lord's driven out these nations, great and strong. And you're not to even mention their gods. You're not to join in marriage with these other nations. You're to be separate from them. You're to be opposed to what they do and what they stand for. And for us, from a missions point of view, as we've grown as an individual, as we've grown in our walk for God, God has cast out nations great and strong in our lives. Towers, things that were a temptation to us before. God has done a work and is doing a work in us. Nations that were great and strong from a temptation point of view. And yet, God wants to keep doing that in us. And we're to stay away from the world. The nations that loved the pleasures of this world. One of you shall chase 1,000. When God is standing with you, in the passage that we read already, verse 10. And when you think of that from a not an invading army point of view, but from a spiritual growth point of view and tackling the temptations of this world that are around us, that are real. They're temptations because they are tempting. That's the very nature of them. They're not something that is foul, though spiritually they are. But the very reason we're tempted by them is they allure us. And we need to stop seeing the allurements that this world has as inviting. One of you shall chase 1,000 when God is standing for you. If you're willing to apply God's word to your life, he will fight for you. But to reach this world for Christ, we need to stop reaching it for its pleasure. When I reach out to the world for its pleasure, I'm not reaching out to the world for Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're told to do. Not blend in with our briefcase so we look like everybody else, or our baseball cap and we're walking down the street being like every other idiot out there, or whatever. We're not to blend in to look like the world. We're to be Christians and we're to be different according to verse 7 and 8. We're not to blend in to the point that we don't even say the name. It's just a name. It's a nothing. The idols are nothing. And the name is a nothing. And yet, to that level, we're not even to touch it. And yet, so often we blend in. Don't seek to become like the world. Have them become like you, a Christian. That's what missions is about. They're supposed to become like us. We're meant to reach them for Christ, not for the other things that they could offer us, idols and intermarriage and other temptations. There's a place, there's the need to apply, and there's we're to oppose. And for each of us, as we draw this Missions Month to a close, that's what missions is about, our involvement, what we're to do. Even that Faith Promise card, that's what we're doing for the Lord. The only reason we ask you to hand it in is just so that practically, if you're going to keep coming and giving your offering to the Lord, well, if we know about it, we can budget for it. But really, it's between you and the Lord. We don't know, as Pastor said, we don't know who's put what card in. A child might have put in a $50 and an adult might have put in a 50 cents. There's no point sitting down and going, oh, that's why. Who would waste their life doing that? The only reason we ask you to tell us is so that, well, if you're going to give it, let's make it a budget, and then we know how much we can promise them we can give. Because there's many of them that depend on it. Amen. Like Metro gives, it's always there by the third or whatever. You know, it's always on the turn of the month. So they know that by the third, the banks will have done their thing and turned it around into their currency, and they can withdraw it and use it not for the pleasures of this world, but for the practical needs of their family and ministry. Amen. And so if we know who's giving what, we can promise them how much we're going to give them. And if missions is about staying and being faithful, then that's God's place for you. That's obedience. That's what mission, being obedient in terms of missions, is for you. And if God's place for you is about going, then that's God's place for you, and that's what obedience looks like for you. But if you're staying, as in not going, it's not staying and not getting involved. It's staying and serving and being involved, or going and being involved. It's not God's will for any believer to stay and not be involved. The only form of staying is staying and being faithful. Go and reach them, or stay and be faithful. That's what God is asking of us. Either way, we go and we conquer the world for Christ. And one man can chase 1,000 and lead them to Christ. Amen. Look in verse 12 as we draw this thought to a close. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be as snares and traps unto you. They'll become temptations, worldly temptations. The very ones we're meant to reach will become thorns in our side. Spiritually, if we stay and don't get involved, we'll get defeated. We'll go backwards. We'll end up joining our energies with them through compromise. No, that's not what God has placed us in the world for. God has promised us that He will be with us to the end of the world. And He's promised us, as He promises, you know, the Israelites here, that one will fight 1,000 because God is fighting for you as He hath promised. Amen. Stay, be faithful. And verse 11, we've gone all around it. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Amen. That's what missions is about. Obedience to the Lord. What God has for each of us, we're involved. God has promised to fight for us, but it's only if we are willing to be fighting. If we're just willing to be sitting back and just being here, He's promised nothing other than what will happen in verse 13 through compromise and backward step. How is it for you? God's promised you that you can go into all the world and preach the gospel. How are you going to make that happen? He's got a place for you. He's asking you to apply His word to your life and keep moving forward, being courageous with continuing to apply God's word to your life. And there's a world to oppose, to stay back from, but reach out to with the gospel. Amen. That's our place for missions. Let's bow in prayer. Let's take a moment to respond to God's word.